In you, O God, is the fountain of life. In your light, we shall see light.
Is you. If you want to see anything in your life as the begotten one in Christ, it must be according to that dimension, which is faith. Any other thing will not produce that result. Hallelujah. Bakataya. When you study Galatians 2, Galatians 2 is a speaking of God's Spirit. And Galatians 3 is actually the speaking of faith. Are you with me? Though in Galatians 2, we shall see, we will also see a matter pertaining to faith, but we see a matter pertaining to faith in the light of the Spirit. In the same way, you will see faith in the light of the Spirit also in Galatians 3. So, one important thing you also see is that the matter of faith is a matter of the Spirit. When God wants to see anything, He speaks. But, you see, when I say God wants to see, I'm talking about seeing in terms of physical, in terms of results, in terms of manifestations, in terms of an outward look, in terms of outward appearance, in terms of that which the hands can physically handle. And so anytime there is a thing that God wants a hand to handle, how God does is that God does it by speaking. So anything that God wants us to handle, He does it by we speaking. He doesn't do it by keeping mute or by going mute. He doesn't do it by first putting His hand to work. He does it by first speaking. And so, Bible says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and was void. And Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. And God said, He spoke. So God wanted to see light. So there was darkness covering the face of the earth. And for God to make light tangible, He has to speak it. But you should know that God has already seen light in Himself. And in as much as God has seen light in Himself, doesn't mean that light has manifested outwardly. So even God, He knows that the things that He has within Himself, the facts of God which are real in God. But these facts that are real in God must be experienced by hands. It must be experienced by sight. It must be experienced by ears. And for it to be experienced by sight, be experienced by hand, it must be according to speaking. So God has to speak light into being so that light can be beheld and be handled. God has to speak the plants into being so that plants can be handled. God has to speak the moon, the sun, and all those things into being so that those things can be handled, can be experienced, and can be tangibly laid hold on. Are you following me? Bakataka prataba. Lakato sota maka talala la baba baba ba. Valagado zineme gredebeto salabash rapakata la nama geno zevre deba legrade bakapa. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if God wants to see, or God wants us to handle anything, how does He do it? Talk to me. By what?
Speaking.
By speaking. He does it by speaking. That's how God does it. He does it by speaking. He speaks it forth. He speaks it into being. He proclaims it. He saw that Abraham has to be a father of many nations. God, to make Abraham the father of many nations, didn't go about creating many children to give to Abraham. Didn't go about molding clay. Didn't go about commanding children to come out. You know, children come out, their spirit, and He carries their spirit and puts it in the sand and makes it and says, that's your child. No. He went to Abraham and changed his name by speaking. You see, He just changed the name of Abraham and He said, you are no longer Abraham. You are now Abraham. So, when God wants to bring a manifestation, tremendous manifestations, He does it according to His word. When God wanted a change to take place in the life of Sarah, for Sarah to be able to give birth, the Bible says that Sarah received the ability to give birth. But she was not having that ability until God spoke. So the speaking of God is the transfusion and transmission of God's ability, God's inherent power and productive energy. The productivity of God comes by speaking. The manifestations of God comes by speaking. And the manifestations of God are the manifestations of faith. And they happen by speaking.
Glory to God.
Galatians 3. Look at it. Verse 10. I read.
He says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curse is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now let me address this matter. You will see that he calls it the works of the law. He doesn't call it the works of faith. He was specific. So when he's talking about works, you ask yourself, what kind of works? And you will see that if he's talking about works here, he's talking about the works of the law. And he said, anyone that functions according to the works of the law is under the curse. Now, let me tell you something, brethren. There is a curse of the law that was nailed in Christ Jesus to the cross. Now, there are effects of the curse of the law. You see? And the effects of the curse of the law are sorrow, weakness, inward weakness, doubts, you see, brokenness. They are effects. Now, though the law has been nailed to the cross, the curse of the law has also been nailed along with it to the cross. Are you following? However, the effects of the curse of the law now has a way of operating against believers. Now let me tell you something. The way it operates against the believers is in this light, and you should take it very seriously. Take it very serious. The way it operates against believers. They are what we call the oppression, demonic oppressions. And demonic oppressions, when you hear demonic oppressions, your mind goes very far. Your mind goes so far as to thinking about some demonic beings coming to, you know, they come like this. You know, that's the picture you have, you know. Karishika, Karishika. You see, when you're talking about demonic oppressions, they are little things. You see, they are so serious that they are alive in the little things. In the little things. You see, and this is how it happens. Anytime you look at your weakness, you are pinned to the curse of the law. You see? Because when you are looking at your weakness, it means that you are hearing the law. And anytime you are speaking from your weakness, you are speaking from the law. It means that now you have turned from the boast of faith to the boast of the works of the law. And these are the things that breeds an atmosphere of doubt. It breeds an atmosphere of doubt. And doubt or unbelief is the highest sin. When you look at Hebrews 12, it says, let us lay aside. Now, he didn't say, let us lay aside the sins that beset us. He said, let us lay aside the sin that beset us. See? We'll be talking about we'll come to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 12. We'll look at that chapter, and I'll take time to explain certain key words there one by one for you. But he said, let us lay aside the sin which beset us. He didn't say the sins. And what is the sin that beset us? The sin that beset us is the sin of unbelief. It's the highest sin. It's the sin that is unpardonable. That means that there is a possibility that you'll be born again and not experience certain miracles in your life because there is a sin that besets you, which is unbelief, that will not let you lay your hands on a certain miracle. So, you are righteous. You are justified. God is not angry with you. God is not against you. God is not opposing you. However, you have set up a rock around you. You see, you have set up a load around you by which you cannot run to handle your testimony. Why? Because you see, the highest level of sin is unbelief.
And if the highest level of sin is unbelief, and you are translated into light, and your operation is according to unbelief, it means you are in light, but not operating according to light. Therefore, you will not experience the miracles that comes by light. So what happens to you is that your unbelief opposes the light that is at work in you. Listen, one of the things that causes doors to close on you is unbelief. And do you know how unbelief is produced? Dishonor. Dishonor can produce unbelief within you. And listen, you may not know that it has produced unbelief in you, but there is a distraction of faith in your heart. The moment you turn yourself away to a position where you dishonor, because everywhere that will proceed, that is supposed to produce a miracle for you, that word will not proceed to produce a miracle. And this is it. If the word is not producing a miracle for you, it is opposing you. It is not middle ground. If a word is not producing a miracle for you, that word by itself has what it takes to oppose. Because the word is not supposed to return void. The word comes with an ability to produce a miracle. And if the word is hindered in producing a miracle, it means it is used not to produce a miracle. Is to oppose that same miracle. So, one word from the lips of Isaac was a word that was producing a miracle in the life of Jacob. But that same word could not produce a miracle in the life of Esau, but rather created an opposing atmosphere around Esau. So, Esau as a person, as an individual, experienced a blessing, but his generation could not partake of the blessing. Why? Because there is a word opposing that participation. And most people don't understand that. And that's why most new Christians, they miss it. Because you cannot receive ministry. And when you don't receive ministry, you see, ministry and blessing are outflow, you see, they are an outflow of a matured heart. And when you're not able to receive ministry, you are not set on the path of a living flow. Your life has to be in a flow. Your life has to flow, and the flow of your life has to be natural. But the moment the word dispense is not producing a flow, it means it's producing stagnation. So you realize from nowhere, certain things are seasoned. You don't understand. And that is why, you see, one of the things you should not entertain is anything that will produce unbelief in your heart. You don't have to entertain it, especially this year. Why? We are expecting a tremendous manifestations of faith. Then your operation, your thinking, your joy, your rejoicing, your excitement, your exciting, all of it has to be in faith and must be of faith. Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Look at this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Okay. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. So if you do them, he said, you shall live by them, though it is not of faith. But you are not, you see, you are not born of the law. You are born of faith. But when you do them, you live by them instead of living by faith. It means that the miracles of faith does not happen to you. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's okay. Verse 14, all of us look at it carefully. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, all right? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, there are promises which has been given to the believer. There are promises that have been given to the begotten ones. He says, these promises are received by faith. That means that faith is the receiving end. Faith is the ability to receive that which has been dispensed. God's promise is already given. God's promise is, God's promise are not mere facts. They are facts that are real. The promise of God is both a fact and a reality. It is a fact that is real in him. The promise of God. And he said, this promise is received by faith. The promise of God is received by faith. So to receive God's promise, it has to be according to faith. It has to be by faith. To receive all that God has promised you, it has to be only by faith. Not by any other means. The epistles focuses on the spiritual realities of the believer. But when you take your time to study the Gospels are full of tangible results. And these same tangible results are also based on faith. However, the spiritual realities, the manifestations of the spiritual realities are also based on faith. Your justification is based on faith. Your righteousness is based on faith. You being holy is based on faith in Christ Jesus. All the many things, receiving the Spirit is based on faith. Receiving the gifts of the Holy Ghost, they are based on faith. Manifesting the gifts of the Spirit are based on faith. The just shall live by faith. Everything that concerns us is by faith. However, when you come to the manifestation, most people, that's what now some people are saying. They are like, oh, all the realities of the believer. The facts and the realities of the believers are the spiritual things that we have received, our spiritual realities, and we are enjoying them by faith, and then they are stuck there. But you know, such a life without tangible manifestations makes the miracle working ability of God a comedy. You see? It gives room for the doubting or for proving the miracle working ability of God. And such people who talk about the things that God has given to us are not things that are supposed to manifest, you know, they are not things that manifest physically, can go ahead gradually and start teaching things that are not consistent with that which God has already given to us. They are not consistent with things that we are to enjoy physically, because they will try to oppose anything that has to do with the physical enjoyment of the eternal facts and realities which are within our spirits. They will end up opposing everything. And so they will tell you that by his stripes you are healed. To say by his stripes you are healed, he's not talking about the healing, physical healing. But he's talking about the healing you experienced in Christ, where you are made whole. That was sickness. You see? And that's what Isaiah was talking about, that by his stripes we are healed. But now when you become born again, oh, he's not talking about those physical healing. Those physical healing, they happen, but they are not the realities that Jesus was talking about. Okay. But we all know that when Jesus went to heal Peter's mother, the Bible was so clear on that matter. The Bible was clear on that matter on the grounds that after Jesus had gone to cause that miracle to happen, he said, and he healed all the people in the villages and the cities, and that the word might be fulfilled, that by his stripes we are healed. So the healing ability of Jesus was a result, that was a proof of God's word. You see, and the proof of that word, it's not so much a matter that is tied to just our spiritual realities, but they are tied to the manifestations of our spiritual realities. Are you sure you understand what I'm saying? So we have spiritual realities, we are justified, but there is a physical manifestation that is tied to our justification, because Abraham was declared righteous. And because he was declared righteous, there was a physical manifestation that came along with that righteousness he received. And what was it? Abraham was blessed. Isaac shared in that same reality. And the Bible says that, and Isaac increased greatly. He was abundantly blessed, much more. So there are spiritual realities you have received. But those spiritual realities are not just seated in our spirits. They are realities that has to be in manifestation. I show you with me. Kabashada. So he said, it is by faith that we receive the promises of Abraham, which was to be passed on to all Gentiles, that we receive the promise of the Spirit. He said, we receive that promise by faith. It is by faith that we receive that promise. It is by faith. So, faith is the medium by which we substantiate all the spiritual realities. for our enjoyment in our daily living. It is the substantiating factor. It is the medium by which we substantiate all the spiritual realities for our physical enjoyment. It gives substance. See, faith gives substance to the things of the spirit. Faith gives substance. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I said, thank you, Lord Jesus.
I was saying something that, you know, God speaks. And I said, God speaking, when God wants to see anything, he speaks. God speaking is the speaking of his word. Now, when God speaks and his word manifests, his word enters us by hearing. You see, so when we hear the word, his word enters us. But the entrance of his word in us is as the spirit. So, number one, in the universe, we have God, who is a speaking God. And this speaking God causes manifestations first by speaking. But when he speaks, what he speaks is the word. And the speaking of the word unto us as hearing of the word spoken becomes the entrance of the spirit into us. And the entrance of the spirit into us is that which metamorphoses into us as faith. So faith actually is not, you see, faith is not just an object, or faith is not just, you know, a system. It's not just a theology. It's not just a code of conduct. It's not just a list of instructions. No, faith is the spirit within us, and he is Christ. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Faith is the spirit within us, and he is Christ. But we know that his coming into us is by hearing. So it begins from God speaking, which is the word, and the word entering us through hearing as the spirit, and becoming faith in us, who is Christ, or which is Christ. And I mentioned something that, you see, there is a substance of the spirit. And I said the substance of the spirit is light. Now, if the substance of the spirit is light, it means the substance of faith is light. So within you, faith which is in you is the word. And it also means that faith can best have its function, its flow by the word, because it began as the word into you. I assure you are here. The entering of faith begins by God speaking. And God speaking is God's word. And God's word enters us by hearing. And the hearing, you see, it enters us by hearing, and it becomes the spirit within us. And this spirit becomes our faith. You see, it enters you through hearing. As the spirit, which becomes faith within you. Becomes faith within you. And that faith is Christ. And I said, this faith is, you see, is the word that has been processed into you. The faith of, you see, the faith which is Christ in you is the word processed into you. And so if it is the word that has been processed into you, it means it can only proceed by word. Did you get what I'm saying? Again, number one, faith. I said God causes things to happen by what? Talk to me. By what?
Speaking.
And the speaking is as the what? As the word. And the word gets into us through hearing. You see, through hearing as the what? The spirit. And it becomes what in us? Faith. And the faith is what? Christ. And I said, if the entering of faith into us begins as the word, then its proceeding out of us must be by the word. Do you hear me? Its proceeding out of us must be by the word. Can you say this? Therefore, I speak.
Therefore, I speak.
Say it again. Say, therefore, I speak.
Therefore, I speak.
Shakataba. Lakatos.
I speak.
I said, I speak.
Therefore, I speak. I speak.
I speak.
I speak.
I speak.
Glory to God. Let's look at the scripture. 2 Corinthians 4. Brethren, understand this.
Faith is not hope. Hope is not the mother of faith. I said, faith is not hope. Hope is not the mother of faith. Hope is the beginning of faith. You see, hope actually is faith in a different covenant. When you're talking about hope, hope is faith in the old covenant. In the New Testament, hope is not the matter of faith. In the New Testament, the matter of faith is the Spirit. The matter of faith is the Word. The matter of hope is the Word. Hope is born by the Word. Faith is born by the Word. So faith proceeds by the Word of God. It's the same way hope proceeded by the Word of God. Hope is not the matter of faith. I have said that before as a teens pastor, a teens leader. No. And because I was taught also as a teenager, the matter of faith is hope. You know, because Hebrews 11, hope is the substance of things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if there is no hope, there is no faith. No, if there is no word, there is no faith. It is not hope that produces faith. It's the word that produces faith. No hope. It is the word of God that produces faith. And I said, Hebrews 11, the hope there is faith. It's what faith is in the old covenant. Because under the old covenant, they looked forward for. But to us, we have it. We have handled it. Our faith has come. Our faith has been measured. Our faith has been aggregated. Our faith has been equated. And it's Christ who is the word of God. And now he's present within us. Therefore, we are called men of faith. Now, we are not men of faith by what we do. We are men of faith by birth. And because we are men of faith by birth, we act faith. I'm a man of faith. I say you are a man of faith by birth. You are not a man of faith by what you do. It is because you are a man of faith by birth, you do. My performance as a result of my source. My performance is as a result of that which produced me. So we see certain manifestations. We have to seize it. We have to see some miracles happen because of what we have, because of who we are. The acts of the apostles are acts of faith because they were men of faith. How were they the men of faith? It was not the acts that made them the men of faith, because already they were called the people of the faith. It means because they are men of faith, they acted by faith. And who is the man of faith? The man of faith is the just man. Who is the just man? The just man is the justified. He is the righteous. Because you are the righteous, because you are the justified, you are already a man of faith. And because you are a man of faith, you must act. You must be in operation. You must insist on a manifestation. You must insist on a result. Why? You are a man of faith, and faith produces action. Faith produces miracles. Mountains must move by faith, and you are already a man of faith. Therefore, mountains must move before you. You don't have to allow the mountains to stand all around you. Don't be dragged around by your feelings. It is foolishness. Be moved, be driven by your real essence, which is faith. I'm a man of faith.
I'm a man of faith.
I expect faith results, and I get them. I expect faith results, and I get them. I said I expect faith results, and I get it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So faith is not hope. Faith is not feeling. You hear me? Yes. Faith is your essence. Faith is your quality. Faith is Christ. Faith is the spirit transmitted into you. Faith is the word of God transmitted into you as the spirit's life. Faith. You are not a man of faith because of what you do. You are a man of faith because of where you are born out of, what you have received. And because what you have received is faith, you must act faith. Therefore, don't make it a labor that I now need to do something to become a man of faith. No, because you are a man of faith, you do. I said, because you are a man of faith, you do. You didn't get that right. I said, you do. Because you're a man of faith. See? Because you're a man of faith, you must take hold on certain testimonies. It must swallow your thinking. Hallelujah. Even the little things, how you handle them. Recently, Dickie Lord and I were having a conversation, and he was sharing a story about some two people living together that he was counseling them. He was talking to them. Two people living together, and he was talking to them. And he said, one of them sometimes one will pick up, will go to town, buy some items, and then will hide the items, and the other one will go to town, buy something, and when it comes, they all use. And got to a point, the other one felt, why are they doing that? And in talking to them, he made them realize that the one who always makes his things available is not foolish. Such that one is exercising himself in prosperity consciousness. But the one who always thinks I have to go to town and buy and come and hide it and use it for small, use everybody's own. It doesn't mean that you are wise. It's that you are acting poor. And when we were talking, he told me, the thing ministered so much to me. It means preservation is not abundance. Being economical is not abundant mindset. When you have abundance, you don't preserve. The abundance itself is enough preservation. There is only the need for something to preserve when there is scarcity. Le katabaya. I've been thinking about that thing since the day he told me that. That was the counsel he gave to those two people. I've been thinking about it. I was like, wow, as little as that. As little as that. And prosperity thinking is faith in action. Glory to God. Glory. I'm a man of faith. I don't think lack. See, I don't think lack. I don't think scarcity. I don't think scarcity. I think abundance. See, I think abundance. I act abundance. I talk abundance. I enjoy abundance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels
that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Hey, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also, oh boy, may be manifested in our mortal flesh. See, he said, so then, death is working in us, but life in you. Now, he says, end. So if he has said end, it means that there is, it's connecting us to all that has been said before. Are you following? So he said, end. Since we have the same spirit of faith, package. Since we have the same spirit. So faith is a spirit. If something is of, it is. If there is the same spirit of faith, it means that the spirit is faith. Are you following? Say, have faith in me.
Have faith in me.
Say, the faith of God,
is available in me.
Say, the faith of God is available in me. I am a man of faith. He said, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, he said, I believed, and therefore I spoke. So we also believe, and therefore we speak. See, verse 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Then I thought of it. I said, I now understand why he would say we are pressed but not crushed. Why? Because having the same spirit of faith, what they feel does not drive them. They were not crushed. How were they not crushed? How were they not despair? Why were they not, broken? Despite the circumstances that were surrounding them. Because they have the same spirit of faith. Therefore, they believing that it has been spoken, they also spoke. Believing what has been spoken, they spoke. So by speaking, they were able to, oh boy, sustain themselves in the midst of the turmoil. I now realize how they did not crash. They couldn't crash because they have the same spirit of faith. Shabalahaya. See, there is no crashing because they have the same spirit of faith. So he has said, therefore they too, they say. So it means as situations were coming against them, they were speaking. And we will see this concerning Apostle Paul when he was called into prison in Philippi and was writing to the brethren in Philippi. All right? And he said that what, he said, these things and these afflictions of the gospel, he said, they are turning out to me. For the furtherance of the gospel, do you see the speaking? So there was a challenge, but there was a speaking. He was not quiet. He spoke. Makabaha. So there will be situations overwhelming you. You may choose to speak or be quiet. But I know I have the same spirit of faith. The same spirit of faith that caused God to speak. When there was darkness that was covering over the earth. When the earth was without form and it was void. There was a speaking of God. Therefore I also, having the same spirit of faith that God has, I speak. Mashagabaha. I speak. I speak. We are not going to watch things happen around us. I speak. Make shadaha. Latakabaha. Maybe throughout the year 2019, you were so dry. Now it's time to speak. Now it's time to speak. Now it's time to speak. Don't look for faith. Don't say, I need faith now so that I can speak. No, we have the same spirit of faith. I said, we have the same spirit of faith. I speak now. Bashakataba. Men and brethren, this is how it works. It works by speaking. But you know, for them to speak, there has to be an experience, an encounter. You see, when we talk about encounter, it's meeting. When you became born again, you met God. But there is a there is a reality in God you must meet. When you became born again, you encountered God. But there is an encounter in the God you have encountered, which you need to encounter. You need to. And so you're not going to rely low to be like, oh, you know, now I have all things. No, you must lay hold on the real word. What has God said that you have held? What are you holding? There is a word of God you must hold. When Moses died, didn't Joshua know that God loved them so much? Can't anything be done? He knew that something could be done. But he must receive a word from God. See, Joshua must receive a word from God. He came to Joshua. God knows, you see, and God knows that anytime he has to produce something, there has to be a speaking. He always has to speak. That's why we come together like this. Because there is a word of God that you must lay hold on so that you will run with. There is a word from God you must lay hold on so that you will run with. Joshua knew the manifestations of God that happened through Moses. But you see, God said, no, Joshua, it is not just about you knowing how I worked through Moses. It's about you receiving the word, catching a rhema, having an encounter, laying hold on a reality in me. Laying hold on a reality. So, yes, Moses had an encounter. But you need to have an encounter. So he said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. He said, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Hiya! And then Joshua never doubted the ability of God. He always moved in the strength of God, knowing that the Lord was with him. Knowing that the Lord was with him. He said, be strong. That was the word he was running with. So we speak. But by our speaking, it must be by a word we have handled. That's why this season, your antenna must be high. Do you hear me? Your antenna must be high. You must lay hold on a word from God. Else, let me tell you, you will go through this year together with us and we'll be sharing mighty testimonies. Hey, kebasata. See, and the more you encounter a word, the more faith happens in you. You see, or the more you happen in faith. The more you hear, the increase of the spirit in you, in expression, is the increase of faith. He told them, tarry ye. You know, he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem. Why did he ask them to tarry? Because faith must come. Faith must come. Before that time, Peter was faithless. The guy, Peter has to run when Jesus was arrested. He did one day show, slaughtered a guy's ear. That was all. He had to deny Jesus 3 times. Coward. Why? There was no faith. There was no faith. But after the Holy Ghost came, this guy that was hiding, and he realized that there was no public declaration from Peter concerning Jesus until the day of Pentecost. After Jesus, 50th day after Jesus' death. 50th day after Passover. Then the Holy Ghost came. And the Bible says, when the people gathered and they were mocking, saying among themselves, are they drunk? Peter has received the Spirit. Now faith has come. Faith is the anointing. Let me tell you, it is not many things that has entered you. When you became born again, it's not many things. You just received that which is God and you arrived. When faith came, the anointing came. When the Spirit entered you, faith entered you. The anointing entered you. Now this guy that was a coward has now received the Spirit of boldness. Now faith is present in him. He could speak of Christ anywhere. He spoke of Christ in the open. And then he went to the beautiful gate. He spoke of Christ. He was arrested, put in jail. They came out to the courtyard. They spoke of Christ. They were beaten and were warned. They went about to their people. Said, man, we are still going to speak of Christ. That boldness. Shabakata. That boldness. Now the Spirit has entered you. The Spirit's word is within you. Faith is in you. You are a man of faith. You can talk to any mountain. Do you hear me? Doesn't matter the size of the mountain. You can talk to it. You've been coward for too long. Refuse to be coward. Faith is in you. You can produce anything. I say you can produce anything. The productive ability is right there sitting within you. You are a man of faith. Yeah. That is why you are justified. That is why you are righteous. Yeah, glory to God. So that faith can have its full course. Faith cannot be mixed with doubts. He said they receive the word in faith. They mix the word in faith. Yeah. What is the faith? The Spirit. They mix with it. He said, the doing ability. As the word was coming, they were seeing themselves doing it. As the word was coming, they saw themselves doing it. It's the same way. As the word is coming to you now, see yourself working it. See yourself producing the miracle. See yourself reaching onto those souls. See yourself enlarging your coast. See yourself producing mighty results. Kashagadabahaya. Lapatakabaha. Men and brethren, this period, I'm not really talking to you about you are the righteousness. No, I'm not talking to you about you are justified. I'm talking to you about reigning. As I'm talking to you about reigning, he said, as many that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, he said, they shall reign. How do you reign? Reigning is the action of righteousness. It's the act of righteousness. So we are speaking to you concerning your righteousness. We are speaking to you concerning your justification. We are speaking to you concerning the many things the Lord has done for you. Men and brethren, concerning this matter, reign. I say reign. I say reign. I say reign. In the midst of that financial situation, you have to reign. In the midst of that sickness, you have to reign. In the midst of those situations surrounding you, you have to reign. You are called for the reigning. I say you are called for the reigning. You are ordained for the reigning. Hey, I don't care what happens around me. I am made for the reigning. And in this year, in my tremendous manifestations at my word, the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is power. If it is by your word, if it is at your word, it means there is the manifestations of power. It means there is the manifestations of speaking. Ah, you are a king. And because you are a king, and because you are the righteousness of God, yes, you are a king. And because you are a king, you have the responsibility to reign. You have the responsibility to rule. You have to reign in the midst of the noise. You have to reign in the midst of those challenges. Yes, in the midst of that accommodation issue. You have been so quiet, looking up to heaven, whilst you can create rooms. Whilst you can call for some house, you can call for certain accommodations. You have been quiet for so long.
Glory to God.
Tremendous manifestations. We are working the word. Are you with me? We are speaking. But remember, you need to encounter a reality.
Watch the things that issues out of your mouth. What the things you set your mind on. Yes.
Watch it.
Who do you oppose? You watch it. Zetosatakaba. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you this as it is. The acts of the apostles is not what shows that the apostles had faith. Because they had faith, they acted. You see? Say, because I have faith.
I take bold steps.
Say it again. Because I have faith,
I take bold steps.
As I walk out of this place, I do big things. If the big things of God you are all thinking about, the peak of the big thing of God you will do is this particular car you want to buy. And it is just that car you want to buy that, as I'm saying, you do big things you are thinking about. You are not thinking faith. You know, there are some things you don't have to buy. It's not, you see, when money comes to your hand, it's not for the things you desire. The things you desire must come to you. Do you hear me? You must always use money to produce. It means if you're using money to produce, it means you're using money to do what God wants, not what you have desired. You say, what if what I've desired is what God wants? What if what you have desired is what God wants? It's not your desire. Hallelujah. If any money comes into your hand, and the first thing you think about is a particular need you want to meet or something you have always desired for, you are not thinking in faith. When money comes into your hand, it's not for needs. Let me tell you, brethren, when it comes to our faith life, we don't use money for needs. Needs, we grow into using them. There are some needs you grow into having them. You see? You grow into having them.
Shalom. Thank you for listening to Light of Life with Pastor Benny. We hope you were blessed. Join us for our midweek service on Wednesday at 6 p.m. and on Sunday at 8:30 a.m. on the second floor of Bintu Complex near Kwashiman. Let's get interactive. Follow us on social media at Christ Commonwealth-Community. Glory to God.